Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 22nd of October, recording at 5:03 p.m. British Standard Time. This being the Friday audio, I start with the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes, starting with global stock markets. First, I would mention regarding Wall Street that, as I've been saying ever since that bubble burst in March 2000, that a secular bear market is underway on Wall Street, defined here as a generational long period of P/E ratio contraction, not in any one sort of straight line, which would have the market falling until the low, the P/E ratios eventually reached there. Their bottom, but in a series of waves where we get medium-term rallies, then sell-offs, another rally, then sell-offs. But during each sell-off, the P/E ratios get lower as investors gradually become disillusioned relative to the optimism that existed in the 1990s. Another feature of this, of course, will be rising yields overall, and I fully expect to see the S&P index get back to a level very close to the average dividend yield of 6.21 that we saw in 1982. Now, I haven't looked at the S&P's yield in the last couple of weeks, but my guess is it's around 1.7, 1.8, right around there. So it's got a long, long way to go. Now, of course, growth can contribute a great deal to that P/E ratio contraction. In addition to stock market declines, and I suspect overall it'll be more growth than market declines, but you never know. And the difficult period for stock markets, well, many would argue that this has been a difficult period for stock markets this year, and I would not disagree with that, except for there are some obvious exceptions, which I'll comment on in a moment. But we are also heading into what is likely to be an even more difficult period, and that is 2005 and 2006, because historically the worst performances on Wall Street occur during the first 2 years of a new presidential election term, when some of the excesses of the two pre-election years are addressed, and I expect to see some of that, not least if Kerry gets in. Although I don't think it'll make a whole heck of a lot of difference which man is in the White House. Now, what about more short to medium term factors? As you know, we had that terrific stock market rally starting from the mid-August lows. Then that was hit with a crude implement in the form of the sharply rising oil price. And oil is hitting new highs in here today, up at 55.40 as I speak. So it's actually, as of today's action, is breaking up out of that little range that held it for about 2 weeks, in which we saw, within which we saw, two downside, very small, key day reversals, which made me feel that we were not that far away from a high in the oil price, but we didn't get the downside follow through, and the keys weren't big enough to alarm people. They were sufficiently small so that only someone who's quite familiar with technical analysis would have actually recognized them to begin with. So, with oil continuing to push higher, I still feel that we're likely to see this spill over into at least a short to medium term consolidation before too long, albeit within a secular bull market for crude oil. But that's just an opinion, the fact, and we really need to base most of our actions on the facts that we actually see in these charts, is that as of today, oil is reaffirming that uptrend, and the high for this particular move is not yet in. Now, that means that we have a phenomenally stiff headwind for stock markets. And it will be very difficult for any stock market to run on the upside against that environment. Conversely, were we to see quite a sharp correction in the oil price, in other words, just a correction just the same size as the one we saw in August and June would be sufficient. My hunch is that when the next correction starts, it'll be bigger than those two, but would we see, if we were to see just a similar sized correction as we saw in August and I believe it was June, not July, then I do feel that stock markets would probably stage a year-end rally. For one thing, they often do. The fourth quarter of the year tends to be seasonally fairly strong, although obviously there are exceptions. Also, the presidential election result will be out of the way after, well, we assume shortly after November 2nd, unless it's one of those absolute cliffhangers once again. But if we do have a definite result after November, immediately after November 2nd, this vote, then I think with that uncertainty lifted, that would create a more favorable environment for Wall Street, and that would enable some of the other stock markets to run. But all said and done, the oil is the key factor, the key influence in here. All seasonal and all these other things are really very secondary to the influence that crude oil is having right here, right now. Okay, now, exceptions during that Wall Street secular bear market. I maintain, as you know, that there's a secular bull market going on in the supply inelasticity trades. The most obvious candidates among these are the industrial commodities, obviously including crude oil, the metals, precious metals, as well as base metals. And a number of foods are likely to participate in this secular bull market, although they are not supply inelasticity trades unless the weather conditions deteriorate substantially, or in the case of livestock, there's some other type of problem. Now, the area that I expect to do best overall, the area that I expect to do best overall, will remain the Asian emerging markets. They have the growth potential, they have very competitive, cheap currencies, and that's where I want to have most of my money, there and in mining-related or commodity-related related issues. Now, when Wall Street tumbles, it'll rein in most of the emerging markets as well. And indeed, if we get real fright in the U.S. market, and we have not had that this year, we've had this gradual sort of ranging lower, but if we get real fright in the U.S. market, or when we next get real fright in the U.S. market, the emerging markets and also the European markets can, or are most likely to actually outperform the U.S. market on the downside, their high beta, in other words, and they will appear more risky, particularly if American investors and European investors start repatriating capital as they do in large sell-offs. Well, despite the crude oil price, I don't think we have the threat of a big sell-off here short-term. We've seen that superior performance of the NASDAQ index recently. I read about that today. My hunch is that the oil is a factor in the sense that in enabling the NASDAQ to be firmer than the Dow recently, because tech companies, pure and simple, are not big consumers of oil. Industrial companies are. Now, moving on from stock markets to long-dated government bonds, I maintain that a secular bull market ended in June of 2003 and that we are in the top extension phase here right now. I have a light toe in the water short position in the US Treasuries. I'm looking to add to that position with GDP growth slowing and with expectations for further rises in short term. Interest rates continuing to wane beyond another quarter of a point or so in some countries, I may not see any real weakness in the government bond markets. We may not see any real weakness over the short term, but in terms of the big picture, the next significant move in this sector, I expect it to be downwards for bond prices, upwards for yields, in other words. And I do feel that a new inflationary cycle is underway. We'll see least of it in the manufacturing sector. And when global GDP growth is concerned, analysts and investors will become less concerned about inflationary pressures for a while. But we've had years and years of credit creation. That's going to go on. No central bank wants a strong currency, so they print more of it whenever their currency becomes painfully strong. And additionally, more and more government debt is being issued. And let's take the U.S., for instance. I fully expect the U.S. to try to inflate its way, not try, it will succeed, to inflate its way out of most of that debt. And the fact that foreigners may own most of that debt, they don't yet, but that may well be the case, and they certainly own a significant portion of the U.S. debt. And if they own most of it in a few years' time, that will make it even more tempting for the U.S. government to lessen the debt burden through the inflationary mechanism. Now, that's bad. That's all bad for the long-dated treasury bonds. And so I do feel, as I've said, that the big move will be on the downside. I would not want to have long positions there. People often talk about flight to quality. I do not regard long-dated government bonds as quality, except on a relative comparison. Are they quality in terms of they deserve to be a core holding in investment accounts? No longer, in my view. That was during the 1980s and much of the 1990s. No longer, in my view. Okay, currencies. We don't get the generational long moves, so they're very, very rare. Currencies is for the point I mentioned before and have mentioned so often previously, that no government can withstand a very strong currency for that long. Now, we've had one of the more boring years in currencies that people can remember. And of course, that sets the markets up for a fair amount of action. And I think that action has actually begun. And it's begun with weakness of the US dollar. And I think the euro is up against the dollar for the seventh straight day. We're seeing the all currencies are appreciating against the US dollar. Right now, or I'll put it this way, all the main traded reserve currencies. And the moves being led by currencies such as the New Zealand dollar with the Australian dollar close behind because they have the higher yields, I think 350 basis points to 450 basis points, with the Kiwi dollar having the 450 basis points advantage over the greenback. Well, that's an attractive incentive, especially when the currency is moving in your favor. And of course, both New Zealand and Australia are commodity exporters, so it all fits together. They're benefiting from this secular bull market in commodity prices. Now, I do feel that these are tradable signals that we've seen. Now, what about the caveat? There's always got to be a caveat. The risk in terms of these moves is that large trading ranges following what has already been quite a significant move, and I'm talking about the dollar's decline in the last 2 years or more, which was not insubstantial, and then to see a very large trading range at the end of that move. Obviously, supply and demand have moved back into balance to create that large trading range. And very often, those big patterns are unreliable continuation patterns. What do I mean by unreliable? Well, if they're unreliable in the sense that when they break down out of those patterns, very often, though, we don't get as big a run as people expect, because that big trading range, instead of being the actual low, is a penultimate low, and so we get a more modest move and then a rally back into the trading range. Conversely, when we have Or if we look at it the other way around, a big advance in a currency, then a massive trading range relative to the previous pauses, and that would apply in this case if you look at the charts that I've posted of the Australian, Kiwi, the Euro, Sterling, and so on. And very often, if that big trading range didn't actually mark the high, it marks a penultimate high. So you see a break up to new high ground, everybody gets very excited and thinks that it's going to launch an absolutely major move, but you get a small move and then fall back into the range. So that is the risk with these moves. Nevertheless, it doesn't always turn out that way, and these are tradable signals. Thus, I maintain that one should be short US dollars in here, and the way that trends are moving now, it shouldn't be very long before one's able to protect those positions with an in-the-money stop, and then we have basically a free ride. And if the trends keep going, well, obviously we stay with them. But I think at this particular time, one wants to be short dollars and hedged in positions. That's my view. That's the stance I wish to have. At any rate, I don't make recommendations, as you know. But that's if I had anything to hedge in terms of U.S. assets, that's exactly what I would be doing. Or if I had income coming in, well, you know the hedge premise, so I don't need to go and waste time by explaining that. Now, what about the supply inelasticity trades? Well, the weaker dollar is certainly a favorable factor. It's partially offset by all the fears about a hard landing in China, or just even a continued soft landing. But nevertheless, I go back to the primary position. This is a secular bull market within the supply inelasticity trades. And this is a very volatile sector. It always has been. I suspect it always will be. So one really does need to use money control disciplines when trading or investing in this sector. But I do like it. And so what does that mean? Every time the precious metals weaken, and I think most people will concentrate on gold and its silver proxy. The silver proxy is my favorite by far, because it's more volatile, considerably more volatile than gold, but it does share the same overall move. So every time you see those declines of $30, I feel that's a buying opportunity. One buys on the setbacks. We expect lots of ranging at this stage of the cycle. As I've said so many times before, that in terms of where we are today in long-term cycles, that the precious metals, gold, for instance, is where the Standard & Poor's 500 index was in the mid-1980s. So we'll get far more ranging than trending. A great many people won't actually recognize that there's much of anything going on there. But if you look at the charts, they remain generally firm, and I expect that to be the case. Now, because there is so much ranging, when we're suddenly very pleasantly surprised at how strong a precious metal position has been, it's probably not sustainable at this stage of the game. And therefore, I would put in either tight trailing stops and or begin to lighten into that very, very strong strength and then pick it up again on the setbacks. That's the tactic that I very much favor for that environment, for this environment. Okay, now industrial metals, they're going to be more for trading given the real volatility that we see there. And as I've already mentioned, a weaker dollar is a bullish factor. And the China factor, well, China does play these commodity markets just like everybody else. If a lot of people are riding on China's coattails when China's buying, then it'll pull out for a while and maybe even sell something, although I think there's been precious little of that. But they'll wait until markets get a shakeout. So they'll and tactically, they're They're buying to consume, but in dealing in the markets, they're competing with the hedge funds and other speculators. So they will be cagey. We will get these quite volatile conditions. But any time you get a big sell-off in the industrial metals, I suspect that will be a real buying opportunity, and that is certainly what I aim to do. How are they doing today? Gold 424.60 right now. Silver pretty much unchanged, but it's at 7.30.31. If I look at the industrial metals right now, we've got tin's a bit better in here today, 88.50, but that was down $150 yesterday, but still very much in a tight trading range. I own that tin. Lead, which I also own, 8.62, that's up 10.5, again firm in here today. Now, what about the oils and natural gas? Well, I've already covered crude oil, which I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast. Secular bull market for crude oil, thus I like all energy related investments. And we have broken up out of this latest little trading range, so I wouldn't want to be short, even though I suspect, as you know, that we are very close to at least a short-term correction, and possibly a medium-term correction. One that is just going gangbusters in here, and to my chagrin, is the natural gas, which I have bought on pretty well most setbacks and a number of breakouts. I didn't buy this last breakout, but this is just roaring ahead. We're up to $9.57 as I speak on the January contract for natural gas. I won't chase it, as I've said before, and it's been good to me this year. But if I'd stayed with it rather than taking the profit on that last position, it would have done a whole lot better for me. Okay, the soft commodities, agricultural commodities. I maintain that the grains are a really depressed, bombed out sector. They're not doing much. They're just basically ranging a bit. But I feel that we will see a Chinese swoop at some point in here. It may not come before the late winter, early spring. I'm hoping it comes sooner than that. So I therefore have some long positions, although I'm not aggressively long. But corn, wheat, oats, soybeans, these are very, very depressed markets. Coffee is a very depressed market, although the Arabica contract has seen a good rally this week. Started on, I think it was on Wednesday and Thursday, but it's still cheap overall. Lumber is cheap overall. Cotton is cheap overall, so this is an attractive area on the buy low, sell high basis, but it may well remain dull for a while longer. But the next significant move is very much more likely to be on the upside than on the downside. And just to wrap it up here, for another week, I just give you a quick run, and we had Asian markets were mildly steadier, slightly steadier for the most part here today. The European markets a bit mixed, but not much in it. In here, small gains, small declines across the boards. Wall Street is down a little bit. It has been down considerably more on the heels of this latest oil strength. It's showing pretty good resilience here. I don't think many people want to be short in the fourth quarter here and of the year, and with the U.S. presidential election result soon to be behind us. What a relief that will be, won't it? And I can certainly stop paying so much attention to it. And probably the rest of you have switched off long ago. So that's it for another week. Have a splendid weekend. I'm off to the ballet.